Good morning. Merry Christmas. I hope you guys are making merry this holiday season. I hope that you guys are remaining very close to God, because obviously He's the reason for the season. You know, I love it when I'm at the stores or whatever and people are saying Merry Christmas. I remember a couple years ago, it was all Happy Holidays. Everybody was afraid to say Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas again to you, and we need to keep Christ on our lips. Amen? We're only a couple of days away, huh? We have any kids in the house? Oh, no, I don't think we have any children here. Do we have any children here? You ain't no child no more, trust me. Come on, yeah, you're a big kid too, Moose. There's going to be a lot of kids not wanting to sleep Tuesday night, amen? How are Santa's helpers doing? Are you guys okay? Don't go near the mall today. It is going to be ridiculous. Oh, Richard said, we're broke. Yeah, I feel you. But Santa does it all, right? Yeah. Amen. I don't want to break anybody's dreams right now. Look over in Galatians 5. Galatians 5. You know, I'm fired up. It's only 10:30. Come on, baby. You better sit down and get ready. Because Mr. Richard said, I have all, you know, as long as I need. So, now he didn't really say that, but whatever. It's early, right? We don't have to go to the mall. We've already done that. You know, as Christians, we know that the reason for this season is Jesus. And I want us this morning to really reflect on what Jesus has brought to our lives. Besides rain. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, here Paul is giving us a list of the characteristics that need to become who we are as Christians, right? You know, as we know that, you know, we're not going to be perfect, but we know as long as we're staying close to God, that these characteristics need to be growing in us daily. The one I want to focus on this morning is joy. The title of my message is simply Joy to the World. You know, around this time of year, the whole world is caught up in the commercialism, of Christmas. All the buying and the gifts and the stuff. Stuffing, you know, stockings and stuffing stuff under the tree, and it's all about the stuff you get. But, you know, as disciples, as Christians, we know that the gift that has been given to us cannot be put under a tree. And that's what we celebrate this morning. You know, are you filled with joy this morning? Are you filled with the true joy knowing that you are right with God? You know, if you're visiting with us this morning, I'm glad that you're here. I pray that you, during this season and for the rest of your lives, will be close to God. If you don't know what that means, please ask somebody. And they can give you a gift that will just keep on giving. Amen? Joy to the world. You know, that song was written by a man named Isaac Watts in 1719. And it was actually not written as a carol. It was written as a hymn. It wasn't until about 100 years after that it was written that it was put to music and became a Christmas carol. You know, some believe that the song was actually written as a hymn of joy about the return of Christ, not his birth. Now, we're going to look at some of the lyrics in a minute, and I want you to think of it in that way. Amen? Watts' inspiration for the song was Psalm 98. Why don't you turn there, please? Psalm 98, starting in verse 4. Psalm 98, verse 4. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the whole world in righteousness and the people with equity. You know, when you listen or you read the words of Joy to the World, you can actually see the inspiration. But man, this psalm is deep. But the message is very simple. The message is very clear. It's about shouting for joy. You know, is your life indicative of that? Can you say that you're a joyful person? You know, there's always going to be something in our lives that tries to steal our joy. But what do you go back to get your joy back when something comes to try to take it? You know, the message is not for us, but for the whole world. It's not just for now, it was back then when it was written. It's not just for back then, but it's for all eternity. Does that fire you up? Does that excite you that if you're in Jesus, that if you have a right relationship with God, you will have joy for eternity? That needs to inspire us. If you don't get the iPod or the Nano Touch, whatever, if you don't get the big wheel or the Hot Wheel or whatever is not under the tree, is your joy still complete? It is not about the gifts. The gift that has been given keeps on giving, and it's Jesus' sacrifice. You know, I don't know about you, but when I hear these songs that we've sung probably since we've been kids, like Joy to the World, do you just sing it out of repetition? Do you actually sit down? You know, I appreciate Peter. He always challenges us, I mean, listen to the lyrics, because the lyrics are pretty deep. I want to read some of them to you. It says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." What is he calling us to do there? We're called to receive Jesus as king and make room for him in our hearts. Man, this could be a psalm. I mean, this could be, a psalm. It was written as a hymn, but man, God could put this in the Bible. It would fit, wouldn't it? God is calling us to recognize that he's king and to make room for him in our hearts. This morning, is there room for Jesus in your heart? Have you made that decision already? Let's continue. "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ." What's the call there? The call is to sing, to recognize that he reigns, and because of that, that should make us sing. Amen. How was your worship this morning? Were you pushing yourself? Did you have the third cup of coffee to get your, you know, the stuff going? Are you in the zone? Are you tired from shopping? God forbid, no. Let all that stuff go. Be here in the moments. Amen? And it's not just about being here. Where are you in your quiet times? Guys, it is not time to go on spiritual vacation, though most of the world does. But we, as disciples of Jesus, need to be different. And we need to call our children to be different as well. You know, they have several weeks off from school. And I've already told some of the high school students, and I've told my children that we're going to go over the book of John during this break. So they will enter break and finish break in a different place. Because the word of God says it will not return void or empty, that it will accomplish its goal. So I have a goal for them. And we will go through a chapter a day while they're on break. And, you know, sometimes the reaction is like, oh, do I have to? Yes, if your last name is mine. Yes, you do. Am I forcing? No, I am prompting with parental authority. Don't you like that? Yeah. Write that down. You can use that too. And if you're in my youth ministry or my teen ministry, yes, you need to. Because you have put yourself under my leadership and I'm asking you to do this. Are you obedient to the call? It says, "Let their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy." What's that all about? That nature itself rejoices that God is God. "No more let sins and sorrow grow." Oh, man, we could be here all day on that one, right? What brings sorrow into our hearts? Sin. Sin steals our joy. That's why God hates it so much. God hates sin, not because it brings us temporary pleasure, but because it separates us from Him. And He's our Father and loves us deeply. Do you see sin as that? That it's a robber and not a giver? That it destroys and doesn't, you know, it doesn't give you anything good. It says, nor thorns infest the ground. You know, God is very serious about sin. It says He comes to make His blessings flow. Are you accepting the blessings of God? Do you know how you unleash the blessings? By being obedient. We need to be obedient. Sin cannot reign in our hearts. Because you know what? If sin is reigning on our hearts, obviously you have not yet made room for Him to reign in your hearts. He rules the world with truth and grace. Amen? Amen. Come on, we're talking about joy to the world. If you didn't have grace this morning, you'd be dead. Right now you think it's something crazy and God is giving you mercy. Not all of us, but you know, sometimes a crazy little thought be running through our head, right? Sometimes you can't control that. But what does your Bible say? It says to take every thought captive and do what? Make it obedient to Christ. How's that going? When you're at work and your boss talks crazy to you, are you taking that thought of responding negatively captive? Is the heart of retribution there? Well, maybe you might not. You know you can't go crazy and say something, but you just don't do something that you know you were supposed to out of spite. And we could go on and on with that. The glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. You know, we need to stay so connected to God's love. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, during this time of year, and I've said it before, I am prone to get depressed. I think it's because of my parents. I miss them very much. And there's times when I feel the attack stronger than other times. You know what always helps? For me to stop and pray and recognize what I have. You know, we're putting together the tree. And we're decorating the tree. And it was fantastic. We had a great time. And something just came over me. I said, man, I miss my mom. We used to do this together. And my daughter said, but you have us. And I do. And I need to be in the moment and cherish that moment. Because there will be a day, not too far from now, that they won't be around to do that with us. That they'll be off to college or being off with their own families doing that. And me and my wife will be by ourselves putting up our little, you know, 2-foot by 2-foot tree. We're going to have to buy a Charlie Brown tree or something like that. But right now, we need to have that joy to the world, amen? We need to be joyful always because God loves us. If you are depressed this morning, understand you are not alone. Did you hear me? You are not alone. You have a God who loves you incredibly. But also, you also have people that God has placed in your life. If you're here this morning, you're loved by somebody that invited you this morning. If you're a disciple, you've been invited a while ago. If you're not yet, then you've been invited this morning. But we need to be talking about how we're feeling, amen? We need to be open about our emotions. We need to talk about, you know, when we're feeling sad or happy. We cannot forget God during these times. Look over in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Oh, man, I got to slow down. I got a little time. Man, what's going on? I'm rushing. This ain't New York. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 16. Rejoice always. I'll say it again. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, it's amazing. Y'all know I'm originally from New York. And it's amazing. Even in New York during this time of year, people are real nice. I mean, you could be walking in the streets and usually they push you, you know, before they say, excuse me. Now they say, excuse me, before they push you. I mean, it's nice. It's real nice. They might even say sorry afterwards. I don't know. Sometimes it happens. But people are filled with joy right now. But is it a joy that we've bought? Is it a consumer's joy? Joy of the anticipation of what's underneath that tree? Joy of the anticipation of the reactions of our kids? And bless their hearts. They deserve, you know, God has blessed them and we need to give them. And it needs to be a fun time for them. But is the joy just filled in our hearts because of the gifts? And guys, I don't want to be harping on that. Trust me, it's not in my notes at all, but it's in my heart. Because I know what's in the heart of men during this period of time. Most of the world is just thinking about the stuff. Stuff, stuff, stuff. It's all about stuff. But it says here, rejoice always. When is always? Duh, yeah. It's all the time, even when trials come. If I ask for a raise of hands for those who have experienced trials this week, some of you would throw up a leg. You know, two hands, a leg. You know, it's been a hard week. Do you not know that God understands that? Do you think that God has not allowed you to come through, to get here this very morning, to experience joy to the world? Man, you know, right now we're like, oh man, it's raining. Oh, the rain. Oh, people, please. At least you are not in a blizzard. Remember 4 or 5 years ago when we had the ice storm and everyone that lived on a hill was in a lot of trouble? And if they didn't have milk and eggs for a couple days, they were hungry. Guys, it's rain. It's not that big of a deal. We need to praise God that he's given us rain and not has given us sleet and hail. We need to rejoice always. Verse 17, pray continually. How often do you pray? I'm challenged by that. I need to pray all the time. There's times in my life that I'm just constantly praying. But I can't just go before the Father with a quick prayer. I need to be in his presence. I need to stay with him until I change my heart. Amen. I need to stay with him until I see the hearts of those around me change. Are you praying for your children on a daily basis? Are you praying for the church on a daily basis? Are you fretting about the issues in your life? Or are you bringing it to God in prayer and just trusting him with the rest? That's when you could be joyful always. That's when you can always rejoice. Why? Because you're giving thanks in all circumstances. We know God got this, right? We know it here, but is it in our hearts? You know, there are times when I could, you know, there's stuff overflowing on my plate. And I could just have the jitters. And I got to go to God because those jitters are going to just affect my family. I already know I've been there before. I've done that already. And because I want to change, I need to do something different. Are you working on different for 2014? You know, somebody else is going to preach that message, but what I'm saying is we need to change. At the end of 2014, it needs to be different than the end of 2013. Amen? We need to have joy to the world, but it needs to start with us. How can you give joy to the world and you're not happy? And joy is not happiness. Don't get it twisted. It's not happiness. It's the knowledge of knowing something a lot of other people don't know. When you're in your Bible and you're reading, you have a deep relationship with God, we above all men on the earth need to be filled with joy. Amen. Because we know something that's true that other people don't know in their lives. You know, Christmas is meant to be a celebration of the coming of Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, it's amazing to think about that Jesus left heaven. Perfection. You talk about 5-star? You're talking about 100-star. You're talking about perfect. And he decided to come here. And he didn't even come when there was technology. He didn't come when there was, you know, modern conveniences. He came to a very poor area of the world and in a very humble circumstance. If you were God, if you were Jesus, and God turned around to you and says, where would you like to go? Where would you pick? Would Hawaii be at top of the list? Would someplace nice with sand and warm water be in the top of the list? Jesus trusted God and went where he was sent. And praise God he did. I remember last year when we were doing the play. And amen, wasn't our play last week amazing? Well, last year when we did the play, my son and I were in it, and I played God. Yeah, I know. Don't judge. But I played God, and he played Jesus. And I remember the last scene. And it didn't really hit me when we were doing it, because I was in the, you know, the thespian mode and, you know, trying to keep it together. But when we first, why are you laughing at me? But when we first practiced it, I remember the scene was when God was telling Jesus, you know, it's time for you to go. Time for you to go to earth. And here's Jesus and God walking out. And, you know, the little encouragement set him off. And Jesus, my hammy son, starts high-fiving all the angels and he's leaving. But can you think about what that scene really was like? When God was giving his final instructions to his son. Not final, but the last instructions face-to-face with his son. And he was saying goodbye to all the angels. And then Jesus looked from a distance. He turned around and saw Father, and he ran back to him for a last hug. You know, when we did that in practice, I cried. It was the first time ever that I connected with how God felt that day. You know, it's very easy to look at God and not understand him because we are not God. We are made in his image, but he is a perfect being that sometimes we kind of feel we don't understand him. As a father, I understand what it would feel like to let my son leave and know he was going to suffer the way he was suffering. It was an amazing moment for me personally, and it helped me to really connect to God closer. What helps you connect to God? You know, Jesus and joy go together. Amen. You know, the fact that Jesus, that God sent an angel to announce his birth to some shepherds, let's look over in Luke 2. Joy has always been in the story. Luke 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." You know, Jesus was a baby, but he was no ordinary baby. And, you know, he was a baby one time, but he grew up. And he is our Savior. He is Messiah. The angel said it himself, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy." Does the fact that Jesus is Messiah cause great joy to overflow in our hearts? That needs to be our focus, guys. That's what Christmas needs to be about. You know, I've been talking about, we've been having a lot of family devotionals, and, you know, we try to mix it up, you know, sit down with the scriptures, and other times we watch something spiritual and talk about it afterwards. And tonight we're going to watch, man, what's that movie? I forgot. Not the Passion, but the other one that they made about the birth of Jesus. I forgot the name of it. Yeah, Nativity Story. Yeah, that's one. But we're going to watch that because, you know, it's pretty accurate. And we're going to sit down and talk about it. And we're going to talk about, why did God decide to leave heaven for us? And I want them to see it. I want them to visualize it. I want them to understand it. Guys, we need to teach our children about Jesus. It can't just be about Santa and Rudolph. That's a side item. That's not the main course. That's a little side dish. And we watched Rudolph last night. I mean, it's fun. I enjoy it. But if that's the reason for the season for you, what legacy are you creating in your home? We need to be teaching our children. The angel said they will cause great joy for all people. We are part of that number. The song says, "Joy to the world." We need to be sharing this joy. This should not be something that we're keeping for ourselves. Messiah, it means savior or liberator. Someone regarded or claiming to be a savior or liberator of a country, people, or the world. That's who Jesus is. The synonyms are champion, liberator, leader, defender, and savior. Are those the words that you would describe Jesus with? He needs to be a champion to us. He needs to be our liberator. Look over in Luke 2, 25. Jump down to 25. You know, we know that Jesus didn't only claim to be the Savior. He is the Savior. You know who gets that joy to the world? Those who recognize that he's Savior and become obedient to his call. Look over in Luke 2, 25. Excuse me. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do what is customary of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You know, how amazing is that? Do you see this man's joy? What was he joyful? There was no gifts. There was no Christmas season at the time. There was the Messiah, a baby that could do nothing for him at the moment but answer a promise from God. Amen. We get to revel in that promise. We get to see the revealed Messiah on a daily basis. You know, the world decides to, you know, make this time merry. We decide to make every day merry, don't we? We can't just think of December 25th as Christmas. Every day is Christmas. Every day is Easter. Every day is a day to praise God and to have joy. You know, there are times, like I said, there are times when joy is hard to find. Where do you go to find it? You know what a lot of people in the world go? They go to sin. They go to alcohol, sex. They go to all these type of things, to food. They go to all these type of things to allow themselves to feel joy. But for those of you in this room, and I know there are many that have used those things in the past to fill yourselves, do they fill? No, they don't. And you know they don't. If we know that, we need to be bringing that joy to the world. There's a lot of drunk people out there. There's a lot of people that are on drugs right now. There are a lot of people that are very depressed right now. Guys, we need to be sharing our faith like crazy. And it can't be just mathematics or academics. It needs to come from the overflow of our hearts. Because we know the Messiah, our champion, our liberator. That's who Jesus is meant to be for us. As a third century man was anticipating death, he penned these last words to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I am one of them. You know, it's something about death that just makes life get so much more sharper, amen? You know, once we might see death through somebody else, you know, my condolences to anyone who's lost anybody in the recent times. I've been hearing about a lot of different things, a lot of car accidents, a lot of stuff going on. You know, there are people hurting out there right now. You know, guys, there's people in here hurting right now. We need to be that comfort to one another. But we need to recognize that we are Christians, that we have found the secret, and we need to make that secret known. Look over in Hebrews 1. You know, it's not about how you begin. It's about how you end. Did you hear that? Write that down. When I thought about it, I liked it. I was like, oh, that's good. I need to copyright that one. It's not about how you begin. I probably heard it from somebody awesome. It's not about how you begin, it's about how you end. So if you're struggling right now, it don't matter how you began, it matters how you end. You need to pull yourself out the struggle, amen? If you're not in your Bible, repent. That's not in my notes either. The Holy Spirit is amazing. He tells us to say stuff sometimes that's like, really? Okay, I'll say it. But we know, don't you know? People are busy right now, but they're not busy about the Lord. They're busy at Walmart, at Walmart, at Target. We need to be busy. Man, the battle's for real right now. More people struggle during this period of time of the year than any other time of the year. Depression is rampant. Excess is rampant. And sometimes we put God on the back burner, though this is supposed to be a season for him. Satan is clever, isn't he? Satan is clever. He's straight smart. But we need to be smarter, right? Because why? We know the secret. We know the truth. Here's the truth. Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Come on, man. That is Christmas all day. Jesus is the perfect representation of God. God allowed him to leave heaven so that he could be here to give us a perfect example and to die for our sins. Disciples, that cannot get old in our hearts. We need to be renewed in that on a daily basis. And I've been a disciple for about 18 years. And, you know, for some, that's like, ooh, and for others, it's like, please, he just started. But I am where I am. And there are some days that I'm like, woo! And some days I'm just like, okay, let's get out of bed. I'm talking spiritually, sometimes physically. But, you know, we sometimes we're not jumping up and down, right? And I'm not suggesting you fake the funk. I'm not saying that you fake being spiritual. Because that's not what God intends. What I'm saying is, you lock yourself up for a little while, you get together with you and your God, and you get right with him again. We need to be reconciled with God. I'm talking about disciples here, guys. This needs to be a time when we're hot, on fire. When is there a time? Let me know. You tell me when there's a time where God says, okay, you can have the day off. There's no time in my Bible. You know, during this Christmas season, I want to get together with people. I want to study the Bible with people. I want people to see God. I want them to be inspired to move closer to him. I want to see people repent. I want to do all those things as well. You know, I know it's the natural progression of life. It will get slow for a little bit. I'm going to use a lot of that time to get close to God. I can't wait to 2014. Oh, man. God is inspiring us and giving us visions about what we want to do with the church and how we can serve him better and how we can improve different things. Guys, we need to be partners in this. Amen? Amen? We can't just be waiting for leadership to say something. We all just need to jump on together and say, okay, let's go charge that hill. Jesus is the exact representation of God. You know, as we continue this week and until the end of the year, as we celebrate this holiday season, there's a couple things we need to do. We need to celebrate Jesus daily. Amen. Not December 25th. Not New Year's Eve, daily. We need to take joy in the grace that Jesus and his blood has bought us daily. And we need to share the fact of this joy to the world daily. Amen? Amen. Love you guys. Merry Christmas.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're reminded during this season, God, of it can get depressing, but God, as the sermon today that John brought to us, we're reminded, God, that we have the most incredible joy in the world of knowing you. And God, through that depression and through those feelings, we can turn to you no matter what We know the truth now, God, and we rejoice in that fact, Father, that we don't have to turn to sin anymore, but we can turn to you in all hope that we will be with you in the end. Father, during this time, let us not get lazy spiritually, as is the tendency, is to get really down and then get worldly sorrow. Let us repent today, and let us turn to you, God, in wholehearted devotion, and come after you during this break, because people are down, people are depressed, but they don't know where to turn, and we do. And God, that is such an amazing thought, and I thank you for putting that again in my heart, and I pray that that was in everyone's heart today after this message, that there is joy in this world. I thank you for sending him, God, that we have a meaningful life now. We know the meaninglessness of this life apart from you, but now it's meaningful again. And it means something. There's eternity at stake. God, during Christmas, let us not get caught up in the hype of greed and materialism. That's so easy to do. Just let us encourage one another. Let us build up our families who don't know you and who do know you. Let us just build up one another in love out of reverence for you and your word. And be with us during the rest of this holiday season and into the new year. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.